Shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Yishai Fleischer Show, broadcasting live from Judea to the world. You're a part of it wherever you are. Today, a very special show, and I welcome, shalom and welcome to Rabbi Shlomo Katz. Rabbi Shlomo, shalom.
Good morning. Good morning, Yishai. Good morning, friends.
Great to be with you, and we are here at beautiful Shirat David Synagogue, your synagogue, your Beit Knesset, really, here in beautiful Efrat, overlooking Beit Lechem, Yehuda, and if you go up the hill a little bit, you could see already to Jerusalem and down to the Hebron Hills. Very special place. Thank you so much for having us.
Such a great honor to be here with you this morning and whenever we get to be together here.
Right. And today we have a special show coming out of Shirat David. And, of course, everybody here at the Land of Israel Network knows you from your other show, which is The Soul of Israel. Right. And sometimes you're also with Ari and Jeremy. And today I have the pleasure. Now, nobody can replace Rabbi Mike Foyer. Mm. And what I found out from talking with you before the show is that you actually went to yeshiva with him.
Right here in Efrat. Probably, the year was probably, we were together, he'll correct me if I'm wrong, 2004, 2005. But we studied here in a very special yeshiva, which was under the leadership of Rabbi Chaim Bravender and Rabbi Shlomo Riskin. We had, and like you said it really nice. It was an all-star team. We really had a great, great chevra.
Well, I know that you had Mike Foyer yourself, and I'm my brother-in-law.
Yeah, he was one of my chevrusas.
Oh, my gosh.
Rabbi Daniel Vinnick.
Avram
Pesach Vinnick.
AP, that's right. Yeah. Okay, and he's married to my sister, so that's awesome. And today's also a special show because it's dedicated to the memory of a good friend of ours, Leah Goldman, who passed away a few years ago, a good friend of mine from high school. We were friends in high school.
You were friends with Lisa or Leah?
Yeah, she was Lisa at the right. time. That's right. She was Lisa, and she had a nose ring, and she was really cool. I remember my sister Rachel, who was like a little kid, just loved like Lisa Height. That's what she was called, Lisa Height. And she had a nose ring, and she was so cool. Later on, my sister Rachel got a nose ring also. And she passed away a few years ago. She was, of course, married to a good friend, Shmuel. They still have some wonderful, wonderful children together. Just now on the 5th of Av, Hey Av, which is the yahrzeit of the Arizal, was also her yahrzeit. And she went a little bit, it was a real heartbreaker. She was a person who was full of life. And you and I both had small parts also. You did a concert up there. In the Golan Heights, where Leah Goldman was living,
right
before her death. Tell me a little bit about that.
It was a night that's etched in my heart forever. A few months before she passed away. I'll go back a little bit before that. I had a kesher with them. I just didn't realize it. They came when I first started doing music here in Israel. I was just getting into Neil Young, but when I got into Neil Young, I went all the way into Neil Young, and for some reason, one of my first big shows here was a Neil Young tribute concert, which they came to, Shmuel and Leah, were there, and that's how the connection began through music. I mean, the schut of Neil Young actually brought us together, and another mutual friend of ours, a member of this community, Itamar Rosen, who is a childhood friend of Leah. They grew up together as kids, I believe, or a certain age, from a young age, had this idea, and he spoke to the family, and we went up on a stormy night, me, Itamar, and Yossi Sossen, another friend of ours in the community. We drove up to the Golan. We had dinner at the Goldman's home. Leah was already very, very sick. It was very difficult to see. I mean, just a mother with all these little kids around her.
A very vibrant, lively, strong person, kind of reduced, a little bit like the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who kind of shrank.
She shrunk, yeah. But Shmuel, her husband, he's a warrior. He's just, when I think of that person, I think of warrior, chayal, a soft warrior. And he was leading the show, he was leading the night really strong. And then we went to another neighbor's of theirs house, and we did a whole evening for her, Torahs, Nigunim, songs to the heart, and we for hours. And she was right there in that living room looking right in front of me. Every song, it was just very, very real, very meaningful. And Netzach, it was eternal. It was one night, but it never stopped. That's how I feel.
Amazing. For me, just the opportunity to be one of the people who did a hesped for her at the funeral. I've gotten a chance to do all kinds of cool things in life, but to eulogize a good friend And just to do a public goodbye to a friend. I was actually at a funeral where you spoke one time of a famous rabbi teacher.
Oh, Rabbi Shalom Brunt.
Right.
That one?
Yeah, yeah. I was there on the Mount of Olives right next to my house where I live there.
That's right. That's right. You live there.
So, but to say goodbye to a friend publicly and to give a friend honor and say goodbye was just one of the highlights. If I could name a few of my favorite speaking gigs that I ever did in my life.
Wow.
I got the call to speak at that funeral. And I remember just one thing that I said. I was like, I looked at the body, right, at the the shrouded body that's covered in front of you when you speak at a Jewish funeral. And I just said, Leah, this is so not like you. This is just so lo matim for you. This is not who you are at all. In any case, we're going to continue her legacy of loving the land, inspiring people, bringing people to the land of Israel. As Shmuel Goldman continues to do also, bringing people to the Golan, we're going to bring people up through Torah and to the land of Israel on the show today.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, so the Torah portion is Ve'et Hanan. This is a very pregnant Torah portion. And it's the second Torah portion of this book of Dvarim, which is all about a long soliloquy, a speech by Moshe Rabbeinu. It's an intense speech. And I always have a problem in these weeks, okay? Because I always tell people it's very hard to say a Dvar Torah. Why is it hard to say a Dvar Torah? Because a Dvar Torah is being said. If you want me to get up and give a Dvar Torah, I'll just read to you from what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to you.
Yeah.
It's like I just read the book, just because he's talking to you. And in fact, this Torah portion, if this wasn't the Torah and it wasn't ultimate truth written in God's hand, I would say it's even a tad, God forgive me, rambling. And I don't mean a ramble like disjointed. I mean, it's the kind of thing that's not written in a textual format, but you hear it. If I read it to you, you'd be like, whoa.
Correct.
Okay, so it's a verbal as opposed to a visual type of Torah portion. And there's a lot of things that are kind of smashed together. But we can't go through the whole Torah portion. We're gonna hit it aliyah by aliyah. Is that okay with you, Rabbi Shlomo?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay, there's also a few pieces. Probably this Torah portion probably has the most liturgical bits. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's certainly one of the Torah portions that has just a ton of liturgical bits that we pray in our Jewish yearly cycle. We're going to ask you to sing some of those bits.
Gladly.
Okay. So again, it's Ve'et Hanan. Also, there's another thing about this Torah portion. It usually falls out right after Tisha B'Av.
Always. Every single Shabbos.
Every single year.
Every time.
Right. Yeah. And this Shabbat is on Friday. It's going Thursday night. Friday is Tu B'Av, the holiday of Jewish love. Do you like that designation?
The holiday
is that
of Jewish love.
You feel okay with that?
It sounds so not orthodox. Eh? And yet it's the most orthodox holiday. Absolutely.
Jewish love. You know, one time I heard a great speaker, Rabbi Ben-Zion Klatsko.
Yeah, he's great.
Great talker.
Great.
And I was with him in San Francisco, in Oakland, actually, and he was speaking at this Russian FSU, Limud FSU, mm-hmm. Limud former Soviet Union. Great gig. That's another great gig. And he gave a talk. He says like this. He goes, "What is the holiest land on the earth?" Everybody's like, "Israel." He's like, "Yes." Mm-hmm. He's like, "What's the holiest city?" He's like, "Jerusalem." Right. What's the holiest place? The Western Wall. Wrong.
Okay. Right.
it's the Temple Mount. Okay. What's the holiest place? Holy of Holies. Okay, fine. Okay. And he goes, if I drew an arrow through the very heart of the Holy of Holies, through the center of the Holy of Holies, you know what I would get to? I would draw a line right between the two cherubs that are atop of the Ark of the Covenant, right? And what are those two cherubs? They're in an embrace. They're in love. He goes, "What's the center of the Jewish world? Love." Good
wow.
one, right? Good
I'm
one.
I'm taking that, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. Taking that one.
Yeah,
I'll copy,
sure.
It's copywritten.
And then he just,
that's, wow, that's
he just
beautiful.
was like the heart. You guys think that orthodoxy is about like, scaring you in laws. And he's like, and he's speaking to like a secular audience. He's like, the heart of the Jewish world is love. It's an embrace.
Wow, that's wonderful.
So that's Tu B'Av, right?
That's Tu B'Av. Our third daughter, we have four daughters. My third daughter's name is Ahava Tmima. We have a lot of cool names, but Ahava Tmima, pure love, simple love. Love happens to be this thing that for some reason, like you were just bringing up right now, Lo Da'alam, I don't know why. It's almost like we don't really talk about that one. I don't know why it's like that, but we don't talk about that one.
We don't talk about love?
We should. Right. It should be the focus. It should be
Neil Young talked about love.
You're bringing him up now again. for some reason, like, if that's not part of the conversation, do we really think we could transmit Masorah tradition? How could it be? Our mission is, the rabbis explained to us, the happiest, the greatest, what was the Lashon of the language?
Lo Yud Yamim Smachim.
The happiest days of the year were Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. But Yom Kippur is really like Tu B'Av. It's also love. As I love you so much, on that level of closeness, I need to be close to you. Tu B'Av is a very underrated holiday. I never celebrated it growing up. I didn't even know it was on, I don't think I knew it was on the calendar even.
It's one of those days that in America you don't hear about.
I guess because you're in camp or, I don't know, you're not really...
Well, you heard about a related holiday, which is Shabbos Nachmu.
Right, Shabbos Nachmu, right. Exactly. But you don't hear about Tu B'Av.
Right.
Chamisha Asar B'Av, the 15th day of the Av, is the day that the Sihara B'Shleimuta, the moon, is the light is in its full peak,
right,
during the month of where there was such darkness. So it's a day of showing us that God is saying to us, look, I had to spank you earlier in this month. I had to give it to you very hard. You had to go through something, a destruction again, to figure out whatever it is you had to figure out there. But please know that the whole time I was holding you up. And now we're ready for the love. It's like that hug that we get after couples make up after a fight. We know that hug is so much more deeper than what it was if you just, I think you're just getting along. It's that makeup hug. And it's filled with mystical secrets. Rabbi Ginsburg has a sea of teachings on Tu B'Av. But for now, I would just say that, Tu B'Av is the real, real beginning of Elul. It's not just like this date on the calendar. It's Elul is Anina Dodi V'Dodi Li, starting the year off, well, ending the year off with, I'm charging towards my beloved, but I'm not going to be charging, I'm not going to be going towards my beloved unless I'm not saying that there's love there to go towards. So Tu B'Av is this day that was established for us to bring back the love that was buried over the years somehow. And at Bezrat Hashem, this is the beginning towards Elul, towards Tishrei.
Right. As I say every year to people, to hit Rosh Hashanah right, you got to hit Elul right. Until Elul right, you cannot start on the first day of Elul, and certainly not on the 10th day of Elul. You got to already be prepared for Elul before Elul. So, and then you could do the approach and landing or takeoff, whatever it is.
No, it's true. Everyone says, Kolat Chalot Kashot, all beginnings are hard. Not necessarily. If you have a good intro, if you have a good Hakdama,
right,
not all beginnings have to be so hard.
And you're speaking also as a musician, right? You got to do a little warm-up act.
Oh, boy. If I just show up on stage and I don't, do the gargling, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be that hard.
And also the band that comes before you warms up the crowd, right? They warm up the crowd.
That's when they come up on time, yeah.
Okay, let's get to the to Rishon here of the Torah portion. And basically, God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, in this case, the opposite.
Right, Moshe.
Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to God. And he says, Hashem, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your strong hand.
Actually, sorry. It's really Moshe talking to the people, right, telling him what he told God.
Right. This is what happened.
It's very interesting. Yeah.
Right. He's letting us in. And basically, he says, let me cross into this. What does the word ve'echran means? It kind of means I begged. I begged God, let me into the land of Israel. Let me into the land of Israel. And God here is going to start with, like, no. No, and in fact, he kind of says, stop bothering me. Don't bug me. You're pushing it, okay? And I think Moses is laying the guilt trip on the people. It's like, you're going in the land. I'm not going in the land. The reason I'm not going in the land is because of you. I've been dragging you around, and guess what? You made me a little bit bitter. I'm part of that other generation, and I'm not really supposed to go into the land. Happens to be that I work in Hebron, so that's not a big, like for us, it's not a big deal because we know that according to the Kabbalah, Moshe does make it into the land of Israel. That's a separate sukkah. Separate sukkah. And what we have talked about in this show. Oh, by the way, Tu B'Av, also when Malka and I got married in Hebron, in Marat HaMachpelah. Wow. So I'm excited about that. But in any case, he gives them a little guilt trip, and he says to them, okay, now that I've given you the guilt trip, I gave you in the last Torah portion the whole kind of story about how we got here. Now I'm going to start laying down to you, basically, and we're going to see this over and over in the Torah portion, what does God want from you? What does God really want from you? And he says, don't add to the word that I command you, nor you should subtract from it. This is a halacha category, actually, right?
Baal Tosif,
yeah. You're not allowed to, put on a fifth. You really feel holy, you want to put on a fifth tassel tzitzit.
Right, sorry.
Can't do that.
Out.
Right, that's not Judaism.
Nothing.
stick with me.
Nachon. I think that, that's a, what he starts to do over here is he starts to telling Bnei Israel, this is what you do. But I think that the teaching of what you're supposed to do even starts with him describing what you brought up in the beginning. That he's telling them that God said no to his prayer. So what is he really telling them in the pnimiut of things? So I got two great gems for this. One, I think you'll really, really dig. And one's a little bit different. But how many prayers did Moshe Rabbeinu pray to go into Eretz Yisrael?
515.
How do we know that? Gimatria,
Vayetchanan.
The word Vayetchanan is 515. Rashi brings it down right then. So there was a great rabbi, the Chatam Sofer, and he used to calculate exactly how, you know, how many, if we know it's 515, then let's figure something out. When did Moshe Rabbeinu start praying to go into the land of Israel? The day he found out he wasn't going to go into the land of Israel. What day was that? The day his sister died. When does his sister die? When does Miriam die? So I forget, it's either Rosh Chodesh Nisan or the 10th of Nisan. Whatever day it is, it's relevant for right now. So he says like this, the Chatam Sofer, let's count 515 prayers. Three a day, four on Shabbat, four on Rosh Chodesh, four on Yom Tov. So the 515th prayer comes out, Mincha of Yom Kippur.
Wow.
Which means, God says to him, Rav Lach Al Tosef, meaning, don't do one more because the next one is
Ne'ila,
when I can't say no to anybody.
Wow.
That's just very, very sweet, very cute. I always felt, you know, I always say, look, you know, Jews, I don't know, no one ever told us, Rav Lach Al Tosef, don't stop davening to come into Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
No one told us stop davening for it. Moshe Rabbeinu, that's his, he has his own deal with any, anyway. That's one, the cute one I like. The other one is like, why is Moshe Rabbeinu telling us about the fact that God didn't listen to his prayers? Isn't his whole thing about being a teacher instilling within us the nechishut, the determination to believe in our prayers? And here he's showing us that it didn't work.
Right.
So I think he's saying something much deeper to Am Yisrael. I think he's saying to us, and I'm sure you and I and all our friends that are listening can relate to this, sometimes God doesn't always answer the prayers the way we would have hoped and would have thought and expected them to be answered. However, prayer is not just about being answered. We know that as well. There's something that has to happen to a person when they become a prayer. Sometimes when I think I'm about to pray for something, but then I really get into the notion of feeling the dvekut. How would you say dvekut in English?
Cleaving to God.
Cleaving. When that happens to me. So the answer becomes secondary. Meaning if you're going to answer me or not, that's nice if you do. But what's much more important is who did I become while I saw myself in a state of prayer? Va'et chanan is weird lashon. It means I became a prayer. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling us. He's like, look, most important thing for me was to come to Eretz Yisrael. But you know what became more important to me? To be davuk in Hashem, to cling and cleave to God while I was praying. And that is a gift, and that is a parting message that Moshe Rabbeinu opens up this Vayet Chanan with all the things he's telling us to do. I feel like he's telling us, become prayers.
You know, Rabbi Shlomo, if I had to also put a highlight on what was the greatest prayer that I ever experienced, there's really no doubt. I was, it was like 95 or 96, and it was when Nachshon Waxman was kidnapped and was held in, he was held by the Hamas, wherever it was, and we, 50,000 people packed into the Kotel, and there was never, ever such a prayer. It was the whole nation was uplifted. I recall it so clearly. I was there for that. And then finally what happened was Friday night, I was in a Haredi neighborhood of town, and there's a secular television station in Romema, and the Haredim are talking to the TV people. By Friday night in Romema, totally ultra-Orthodox place, we knew exactly what happened. That there was an effort to rescue him, and there was a failed effort, and that he was killed, and that a commander of the Sayeret Makal team was also killed.
It
was
near Poraz,
right? It was like a bad deal. Yeah. It was like the whole thing was like it was like it went down bad. It didn't go right, and then Nachshon Waxman's father spoke, and he said something that will forever at the funeral, and I think also the nation heard this. Also, he said, a few years ago I had cancer, and I prayed to God, and God said, yes. And then when my son was kidnapped, I prayed to God again, and he said, he answered me, but he just said no. But it wasn't that he didn't answer me. He's there. He just said no.
Wow.
And that was a very powerful thing. So I think that's the, what you're saying right now is that the relationship is more than getting what you want out of it.
Amash.
All right. There is one phrase in the end of Rishon, which is one that you get to hear a lot, which is V'atem advikim b'Hashem chayim kolchem hayom. Atem advikim b'Hashem lochkechem chayim kolchem hayom. We say it all the time when they call up people like yourself, the Kohanim, right? So tell me a little bit about this phrase. We say Kohen Krav. By the way, we say Kohen Krav, Kohen come closer. Right. But I say Kohen Krav, right? A warrior Kohen, nice. Right? Kohen Krav.
Very nice. Kohen okay. Krav Yamod.
That's right.
It's true. I like that.
Kohen Krav, like Mashiach Melchama,
nice.
Kohen Krav.
Very nice.
Okay, and then the Kohen goes up to for the Torah leaning, and then we, what do they say?
V'atem advikim b'Hashem elokechem chayim kolchem hayom.
We say, do it for me. How does it sound?
V'yamod, Baruch Shenatan Torah Meisvuk Dushato. Right?
And then we sing.
V'atem advikim b'Hashem elokechem chayim kolchem hayom.
I want to hear it in the song.
Oh, the nigun of it?
Yes.
There's a lot of nigunim for it. The way we say it over here. Wow, you're catching.
Chayim kolchem hayom.
I'm just going to say my name because I get called up every name. Kohen Krav, Yamod, Shlomo ben Avshalom HaKohen, Baruch Shanatan Torah Ma'isam Gdushato, V'atem Advikim B'Hashem Elokechem, Chayim Kolchem Hayom.
I always like that one, and I like to sing it loud, and I go to shul sometimes where they don't say that loud.
Right.
They go, V'atem Advikim B'Hashem, Chayim Kolchem Hayom. I'm like, V'atem Advikim B'Hashem, Chayim Kolchem.
Chayim Kolchem Hayom. You're alive today.
Yeah, what does this phrase mean exactly?
But those of you that are, it's very connected. It connects to what we just said. Atem advikim b'Hashem. You want to feel alive? You want to feel chayim kolchem ayom? You want to feel like you're alive today? Atem advikim b'Hashem elokechem. Those that don't just have this parv relationship with God, dvikut, devik, glue. Glue is a siman of life with Hashem. Not spectator sports. You're on the mark. You're on the floor.
Right. Okay. That was Rishon. Okay. Shani is about prep for the Ten Commandments.
Right.
Okay. It's the preparation for the Ten Commandments. And that's another thing about Vayechanan. It's so packed. It's a little bit like Parshat Bereishit, a little overpacked. It's like a New York deli sandwich, you know, overstuffed. So right. you need
4 meals to finish it. As if you need 4 weeks for Vayechanan.
That's right. Yeah. Vayechanan. Sometimes, you know, there was a time where the Torah portion was read over, the whole Torah was read in 3 years.
Right.
I was like, I get it. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu is preparing us to receive the Ten Commandments, and he says, you know, you saw, and I meditated on this the other day, you saw, it was the middle of the night, you saw a flaming mountain. It was like Burning Man, okay? Lehavdil, all right? It was like you saw this incredible sight of God revealing himself on Mount Sinai. I took you out of Egypt to have this, to stand at this momentous occasion, right? And the thing that I like first that I want to talk about is Elkanah. God is a jealous God. Here it is. Ki Hashem Elokecha Esh Ochla. Your God Almighty, Hashem your Lord, is a devouring flame, Elkanah, jealous God. What is that?
I always got stuck with that one. I always felt that's one that Mashiach will have to come and to reveal to us.
Because, why is that?
Because today you say the word Kanai, and you're always scared that you're sounding so politically incorrect.
Yeah, it depends which circles we're in.
Oh, wait, I forget what station I'm on right
That's
now.
Right.
Sorry about that. Well, what is kanai? Kanai means, what does it mean to be a zealot? Like, what's zealotry? Kanaut lishma is that you could say I'm a fanatic with love.
I was on Al Jazeera one time. They're like, they were talking about the Temple Mount. Ishai Flash, are you such a fanatic? I'm like, well, I fanatically love Jerusalem.
Exactly.
I told him straight out. I'm like, yes, I love Jerusalem.
So plug that into here.
Right.
Plug that into here. Elkanah, God is fanatically in love with his people, and that's why he's giving us what he's giving us.
Right. But what does that mean, Esh Ochla, a devouring flame? What does that mean to you?
I always go back to the Sneh Boer with that one. God reveals his messages through fire. It's got to be burning like coals. The way God first reveals the message that Moshe is going to be the leader of the people, it's through a Sneh Boer. It was through the burning bush. There's always an element of fire when Hashem wants to bring down something that's like, you know, chazak, like coal, burning coals.
Right. And I was just at your fabulous Eicha reading here in town. And this was maybe the year that I heard Eicha the best, physically and spiritually. It was fabulous. And one of the things that I read is that there was an Esh B'Tzion. There was Zion was kind of burnt down in fire. But we say, as it was burnt down in fire, so you shall build it in fire. Like Esh Ochla is not just like, it means God. What God is saying is, I mean it. I'm fired up. I am fired up about this stuff, right?
It's true.
And they say in Chabad, for example, that the Nile, the reason it turned to blood was to teach you, don't have cold water running through your veins. Have hot fire. Blood. Be passionate. Be turned on to Israel, Judaism, God. Like be like.
Absolutely. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov says, a few weeks ago we say about in the parasha of Matot Maaseh, we say kol davar asher yavo ba'esh ta'aviru ba'esh. Which basically, that had to do with koshering utensils that were taken in captivity after a war was fought against Midian. But Rabbi Menachman says something amazing. He said, kol davar asher yavo ba'esh. Remember when you sinned, there was some passion and fire, right? The only tshuva, the way you could do tshuva over that is, kol davar asher yavo ba'esh, ta'aviru ba'esh. You can't just say, I'm going to stop doing that and have a cold relationship with what you did. The same kind of fire you used to sin, same kind of prayer you used to repent.
That's a big Torah. That is a big Torah. You got to go whole hog. You got to go nuts.
Legamre.
Right. And that's cleansing, and it's also strengthening like steel. You know, you just got to have hot steel.
Look, we were exiled with fire.
Right.
We got to come back to Eretz Yisrael with fire.
That's right. One time I was sitting with Rabbi Fass of Nefesh B'Nefesh, and I said to him, we have to be as crazy as the Nazis. They got us on trains to Auschwitz, we got to be as crazy as them to bring him to Eretz Yisrael.
What did he say?
He didn't love that one. he chafed a little in his seat, and you know he's Yekish, so he's a great man. He's a great man, and also by the way, what people don't know about Rabbi Yehoshua Fass, the founder of Nefesh B'Nefesh, is that he's a very serious Talmid Chacham,
a very
serious Torah scholar. People don't know that. Here's another liturgical phrase. V'yadata hayom v'hashivota el avavecha. You'll know today, and you'll kind of return to your heart, or return with your heart. Ki Hashem hu Elokim, because Hashem is God. B'shamayim ma'al, in the heavens above. V'al aretz mitachat, and on the land and below. Ein od. Can I hear that liturgically, please?
With the way we sing it, I have a nigun for it, actually.
Let's do it.
Ve'yadata hayom, ve'yadata hayom, ve'hashevota el levavecha, ve'yadata hayom, ve'yadata hayom, ve'hashevota el levavecha. Ki Hashem hu Elohim. Ki Hashem hu Elohim. Bashamayim me'al uva'aretz mitachat ein od.
Nice. Ein od.
Ve'adata hayom.
Ein od. What is ein od?
Nothing. There's nothing else besides what we just said right now.
Right.
It's like, I can tell you a lot of cool things to know and this and that. This is what you have to know. Hashem hu Elokim. God is God.
Okay, I'll give a parable. I was just in San Francisco with the director general of the Jewish community of Hebron, Uri Karzan. We were out there, and we were in a Lyft as opposed to an Uber. And he had one of these fancy little machines that you talk to. And what's the name? It's not Siri. What's it called?
Alexa,
yeah. Ugh. So he says, he goes, Alexa, tell me a joke. And Alexa said, what did the yoga master tell the hot dog vendor? What? Make me one with everything. Make me one with everything.
Alexa.
So, Ein Ol Mevado, Hashem is everything. He's everything. Every single nuclear, every single molecule that we and every single emotional and thought and everything. God, this is God's world. Right. He created. He's the creator. We are the created.
But the way to really internalize Ein Od, Echad, is the beginning of the Pasuk. V'yadata hayom, Chassidus is filled with this, with a commentary on the beginning of this pasuk. V'yadata hayom. First, you have to the dad that you know. V'hashevota el vavecha. Bring the knowledge that you have in your mind into your heart.
Right.
That's the only way you'll be able to grasp. Ki Hashem hu Elokim ein od milvado. Take the wisdom of the brain, insert it into the wisdom of the heart. Which is a whole, we could talk about that for years and years and years. But there is something called wisdom of the heart. And my friends, I'm sorry, wisdom of the intellect is very finite. Wisdom of the intellect is finite. Wisdom of the heart is infinite.
Yet you're saying that the mind must...
It starts here.
Right, well, it has to download the...
Exactly. But literally,
download it into the heart.
Download it, right. Yeah. You don't upload it from your... You download it right. Into the heart.
Right.
Correct.
For but that, sometimes you got to have... But then Jeremy Campbell loves to say you have to have a lev shomea.
I
you
love
to have
that.
You have to have a listening heart. You got to hear.
You got to hear what your mind knows.
Mm.
That's what it means. You have to hear what your mind knows.
Uh-huh.
We think we hear it just because we know it. It's not true. Listen to it.
Okay, so then now we're on to Shlishi, okay? And Shlishi is about the Arei Miklat suddenly. Okay? Suddenly it's once again about this issue of the cities of refuge. Rabbi Mike Foyer said to me, he said something like, well, I don't know where this fits in today. And I said to him, it fits in today very well, which is the car accidents. There's 500 people who are killed a year, you know, in car accidents here in Israel. And we murder one another, you know, inadvertently, surely. But still, it's because of our tensions and because of our problems. Once again, also, I talked about it last week. The Hermon Mountain is mentioned, and Jewish people in this Israelis in this time of the month of August all head up north to the Golan Heights.
Even these crazy days, where heading up there is you might get a. But what did they do yesterday? These ballistic missiles,
Katushas and rockets and all that.
Yesterday there's a whole.
But that just means that the Tzimrim will be cheaper. That's exactly. All it means. That's just
that's what we like.
Right. I'm just like, oh, good. This is the time to go. Perfect. Okay. That's the way we think about it. The Tzimrim are...
apologize to our Tzimr holders in the Golan.
Wait, we just have to tell people what Tzimr means. It means house motels, villas, little places that you stay at throughout the country. People make kind of a living by building
on... It's a very Israeli thing, right? America?
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah.
But you go on many websites, different families will have a little housey attached to their house or a house in a pool or something, and they'll give you breakfast. It's like a motel. It's like a Airbnb type of thing. Okay, so that's Arei Miklat. Let's go to the Revi'i. All right? And here in Revi'i, we're actually getting into the Ten Commandments. And one of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu says is something that is true about Moshe Rabbeinu, he says about the Jewish people. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to God face to face. And yet we're going to be told by Moshe Rabbeinu that we spoke to God face to face. He says, Panim befanim diber Hashem imachem bahar mitoch ha'esh. Face to face, God spoke to you from the mountain, on the mountain from the fire. Well, what kind of face is that? Fiery mountain? That's his face? How does that even...
The way I always understood that, I'm still grappling with it, but the way I always understood it was that Moshe Rabbeinu, in his most utmost humility, is saying to them, when you were talking to me, I was nothing. Once I spoke to God at the burning bush, I was just a nothing. I was a conduit through which Hashem can talk to you. So when it says you spoke to God face to face, I think what he's saying is when you were talking to me, you were talking through me right back to Hashem, and God was speaking to you through me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine. That's good. On the other hand, I think that they were speaking to God face to face themselves, and where you're coming from is exactly the next phrase. Just to strengthen your point, it says Anochi Amed Omed Bein Hashem Uveinachem. Like Moshe Rabbeinu says, I was standing between you and God. The verse beforehand says that you spoke to him face to face, but then it says Ki Yaretim Ipnehesh. You were afraid. You were afraid of the fire.
Right.
And in fact, we're going to get to it in a second, that indeed the Jewish people asked Moshe Rabbeinu after the second commandment.
Stop.
Yeah, like, no more. We can't take it. We need you to be a buffer between us.
Right.
It's too much to be holding on to this live wire. It's too much. It's too much. And if you think about it, the guy, it's just you don't have the vessel to be able to be a, to be a conduit for that kind of energy flow. We just don't have that ability to look at God and not melt down.
We wish we could. We wish we could.
See,
but we don't.
But the B'nai Israel, after being too close, are
exactly.
like, we wish we couldn't anymore.
Exactly.
If you don't mind just giving us a little space so we could be human, because that's what we are. We're created
right.
beings. And
right.
and I, don't over. You know, we can't do it. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're special. You have that godly face. You are that perfect conduit.
Right.
We can't do it.
Right. We couldn't hold on to it. And I think that's one of the reasons why Moshe Rabbeinu, after that episode, and when we go back in Parshat Shmot, in Parshat Yitro, when the Ten Commandments are given, from there on, the people are kind of always like, who are you that you're able to talk to us and talk to him? And they can't really figure him out. Like, a lot of people can't figure out leaders. How can you be both so spiritual and yet so human, you know, and so in this world? Because they experienced what it was like to be him for 1 second, and they're like, we can't be ourselves. This is Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness, half here, half there,
right.
at the same time.
Right.
And that's really true leadership, always.
So we're not going to talk about all the Ten Commandments, and there are only two times in the Torah that there's a Ten Commandments kind of version.
Right.
The original, as you said, in Yitro, and here today in Ve'etchanan. But there is one thing I do want to talk about, again, in terms of liturgy, and because I'm with you, Rabbi Shlomo Katz, and you know, you're a great teacher, and also you know, you're a famous singer as well. I wanted to ask you to maybe... How should I say this? We have here one of the things that we say about Shabbos. And this is how we make Kiddush. And I wanted to ask you, maybe if you want to read to us the way you know Jews read it Friday night, or is it Shabbat day this one? Oh, did I lose the page? I'm sorry. It flew off with the AC.
Sure. No, it's part of Kiddush. Yeah. We say in Shabbos day, we say V'shamu b'nei Yisrael to Shabbat. That's the Shabbat that b'nei v'nei Yisrael. And then we say Zachor et yom ha-Shabbat l'kodesh sheshet yomim ta'avod v'asit akom lachtecha.
But I want to hear the way you would do it. Yeah.
Yeah, we do it.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to go back in my
that's
mind
right,
to Shabbos
okay.
mode, which is a very nice thing. Don't get me wrong.
It's Tuesday, so it's.
Uvayom Hashemi Shabbos v'yinafash. Zoch, and excuse my Ashkenazi accent.
That's, no, we love it.
Zoch ha'sim ha'shabbos l'kodesho, shei shesim t'avod, v'asis akum lachtecha v'yom ha'shvi, shabbos l'ashem elokecha, lo tase kum lacha, ata uvincha uvitecha, avdecha v'maschamtecha v'gecha, asher bishanecha, ki shei shes yamim, asa Adonai. Es ha-shamayim ve-es ha-aretz, es ha-yam ve-es kol asher bam, v'yanach b'yom ha-shvi'i, al-kein berach ha-shem es yom ha-shabbos, v'yikadcheyu. Pull out the grape juice.
Right.
Savi, man.
That's right. Shamayim. Right. Okay, so that was awesome, and that is what we say.
That is over here the commandment on Shabbos, on keeping Shabbos.
Right, and just for all my non-Jewish listeners here on the show, like, we say this bit of the Bible every Shabbat.
Every Shabbat.
This is our way to be like, look, Moshe Rabbeinu told us to keep the Sabbath.
Right.
Here's the commandment to keep the Sabbath,
right.
And it's just part of our liturgy because we read right from the Bible to honor this thing.
There are parents that actually quote another one of these every single day, where they look at their children and they say, "Kabeled avicha v'etimecha," honor your parents.
It's true, but I actually do tell that to my kids.
Yeah.
And I don't tell it to them, and I say this to them. I don't say this to you because I want you to honor me. That's not it at all.
Deep.
I say to them straight. I go, this is a commandment. I do it for my parents. You have to do it for me, and your children will do it for you. This is just the way that we continue our chain. I say to them, like, it's not because I need your covet. I don't, and you don't, you know, it's not because this is what the Torah tells us to do. And so you have to speak to me in covet, and I have to speak to my mom in covet. I show them all the time when my mom is over. I'm like, you see, I'm doing kibud avim. You see
how
important
this
is. Yeah, I don't demand it on a personal level.
That's very special.
Yeah, I say to them, like, this is the way our peoplehood keeps going through this commandment.
Very special. Wow.
And of course,
I'm going to try that.
I tell them straight. I say to them straight. I'm like, you're not speaking in a covetic fashion, and you have to do it because the Torah tells you to
right.
do it. And of course, when you work in Chevron, really a big part of what one of my themes is Kibud Avim. Like, we're here to honor the fathers and the mothers.
Wow.
That's like one of the, I talk to people about that mitzvah. Like today we're honoring the original fathers and mothers, the ones that have a name forever. Sometimes people say, oh, Yishai, you're a shtickle famous. I go, I'm not famous. I work for famous people. their names are famous. That's the name. Those are the big names.
Very nice.
You know, but you have to have Kibud Avim going all the way back.
I really like what you said right now, is that where you're referring to our non-Jewish brothers and sisters listening, is that...
Wait, stop. Sorry, go ahead.
What I found to be beautiful with what you said before regarding, calling out to our Jewish and brothers, non-Jewish brothers and sisters, explaining to them, this is like... We read out of this. This is not something that when we go to Bible study, then we remember what was once said. The words out of the Torah play a role in our everyday lives. It's what makes us chai. It's what brings the chayim, that we're davuk, we're clinging, we're cleaving to what's actually written. And this Shabbos, we get a load of the things that we say all the time.
Right. There's a lot of
chai. There's a lot of chayut now.
Right.
A lot of vitality.
Again, it's because it's in speech form that it makes sense that we repeat it. Correct. In speech form. It's it's like liturgical, and it's Rabbi Mike would have a fancy word for this right now. Let's go to Chamishi, to the fifth Aliyah of the Torah portion of Vetchanan, Book of Deuteronomy. This is what we were talking about before, that Bnei Israel say, Va'ata, now, Lama Namut, why should we die? That this huge fire should eat us. If we hear any more of God's words, we're going to die. And this goes back to the Midrash. I talk about this on the show a lot of times. Basically, the first two commandments, the nation of Israel, the two commandments are what? I am Hashem, your God. Don't have any other gods before me. When God spoke that, there was such a nuclear bomb, such an explosion, the Gemara says that they were blown back 100 miles and they came back to life. They came to the front again, heard the second commandment, got blown away again, and then they said, okay, Moses, the rest you got to tell us. So there's a few ways to understand that. One is like, wow, as we said before, God's interface is just too powerful for mankind. But on the other hand, it's like, I told you the main two commandments. Because even though there's 10 commandments, the first two are what it's all about. And interestingly enough, you could understand there's just one commandment. I am God. Don't have any other gods before me because I'm God. No, I'm God. Know that. But two, do everything as a Jew. We are fanatically commanded to stay away from Avodah Zarah. Don't make your emotions Avodah Zarah. Don't make your desires Avodah Zarah. Don't make the money in your pocket Avodah Zarah, or the money that's not in your pocket Avodah Zarah. Don't make somebody dying in Avodah Zarah. I just met a guy who's talking to me about his brother's death, and he's so locked into his brother's death from 4 years ago. It's like he's mentally, infatuated. You know, he cannot unlock from that. God says, don't make that in Avodah Zarah.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make anything in Avodah Zarah. I am God. Serve me and clean. And certainly don't do regular idolatry. Right. Stay away from all that stuff. But those two commandments, that's the heart and soul of being a Jew. And in just a little bit, we're going to hear also, in the next Aliyah, we're going to hear about Shema Yisrael. That first phrase, Shema Yisrael, is really a compilation of those two commandments. Hear God, Shema Yisrael, Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. There is one God, and He is one. There's no other.
Right.
That's the basic formula of what it is to be a Jew.
Right. Shema Yisrael, Hashem, okay. Wait, where are we going to jump to Shishi now? Where are we?
We're in Chamishi. But I think we can jump right to Shishi because it ties right in. Go ahead, let's go to Shema.
It is. Yeah. Let's go right into it. So, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. I heard two fabulous teachings from someone that I'm sure you've mentioned before on the show, Rabbi Shlomo Karabach.
Sure.
And Reb Shlomo had I was once really longing. I was in a deep state of longing for just getting.
I just want to say that you're one of the people who is teaching the world a lot of Reb Shlomo's Torahs, and you've got books, all sets of books on the Torah portion and on Jerusalem. One of my favorite books,
Soul of Jerusalem,
which are all special. Really a translation of a continuation of Rabbi Shlomo Karlbach's teachings.
Yeah. He was known mainly, you know, everyone knows he was a singer, but he was talk about Talmid Chacham. I mean. Otherworldly, I would say. So He said I was very, I needed something, you know, like a cash Torah. You know, like you need to hit me up, you know? Reb Shlomo said, you always have to have cash in your pocket. You always need a cash Torah to just pull out at any given time and just. He said, you know what Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? He said two things. You know what it means? Hear, O Israel, God is one. God is our God, God is one. One is that we're so big. We've become such big Eitzah givers, which means we think the way we could help people is if we always know what to say at the right time and give Eitzahs to give counsel. When really, when someone comes and pours out their heart to you, they're not really waiting for anything. All you got to make sure is that you have good ears. Shema Yisrael. That's really what it is. Just learn how to listen. That's a very big one. But the end, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, he said, you know what? It means that God is one. It means that God hates imitation. God is one. If we have a commandment to walk in his ways, it means God really isn't interested in anything else than the best version of you. And that's a very deep Torah to internalize. Because we always look to people that inspire us to receive from, but we're supposed to receive from them to become more us, not to become more them. So that's Hill's interpretations of Shema Yisrael. Make sure you just know how to listen to someone when they're in pain. Hashem Echad, God hates imitation. And to go back to what you said before, what does it mean that God hates Avodah Zarah and wants us to stop having Avodah Zarah? Avodah Zarah, according to the Hasidic text, means you're not allowed to perform Avodah Shehi Zarah Lecha. You're not supposed to serve God in a foreign way. Meaning, you have to be close to what you... Zar doesn't mean idolatry. It means foreign.
But you know, but here I'll ask you a question, because I struggle with this sometimes, which is, okay, you're in a situation where it's not exactly you, but then you say, okay, let me be more malleable a little bit. Why should I be so much me? Why should I have such a, what do they call it in Chabad? Such a...
Yeshus.
Like, yeah. Why do I need that? I need to kind of, maybe I need to a little bit like be more pliable, soft. Okay, so I'm not in my perfect situation. I'm not in my perfect job. I may not even be in my perfect marriage, seemingly, I would think, or something like that. But okay, God has put me in here, and I have to kind of not be so uptight about what me is. And be like, okay, and for example, just from my Zionist head, famously in the Battle of Tel Chai, you had their... So Trumpeldor, that was his name, Trumpeldor, he famously said, I'll be whatever the land needs me to be. It needs me to be a carpenter, I'll be a carpenter. It needs me to be a firefighter, I'll be a firefighter. Whatever it needs. It needs me to be a rabbi, I'll be a rabbi. Whatever it needs. Like, in a sense, he was saying, like, I'm here to serve you as opposed to you serving me. So I'm asking you the question. I hear what you're saying, which is be true to thyself. Serve God in your way with your true song, with your inner song.
But in Chabad, they explain that the only way for you to figure out who the real you is to reach the level that you're talking about. That's the only way to know the real you. When you say, I'm willing to be whatever Hashem wants me to be, that's how you figure out who the real you is.
How's that?
Because if you're so adamant on thinking that you know who you are, that leaves very little room for discovery of what God wants to show you. That's a very boring life. Mm-hmm. I already know. This is who I am. I'm close to...
Oh, that's like Esav. Like, he came out complete.
Asui. Right. Esav. Asui. Right. I'm done. This is the real... That's not the real you. That's Yeshus. Like you said before, Yesh. Me. When you take room out of yourself to have God reveal to you what he had in mind when he created you, that's the real you that we're talking about.
Okay. All right. So there's a lot of avoda there.
Oh boy.
we went right to Shishi, to Shema, but right before the verse of Shema is actually one of my favorite Bible verses, Torah verses. It's the best verse. And one of the reasons I like it so much is because it's actually a little bit of a non sequitur. There's something not exactly seemingly on the face of it, not exactly linguistically correct. Remember, this is God's word here, folks. So what I'm saying is kind of smile through understanding that there's something written here that's a little bit funny. And it says like this. I love this verse. Veshamata, this is Moshe Rabbeinu talking to the people. Veshamata Yisrael. You listen, Israel. Veshamata lasot. And you got to keep to do. Asher itavach. It's going to be good for you. v'asher tirbun me'od. You're going to become greatly magnified. Kasher diber Hashem Elokei Avotech Alach, as God has spoken to your forefathers, spoke to you, Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash, a land flowing with milk and honey. Do you understand what I'm saying to you people?
The pasuk, come
right.
on.
Listen, Israel, do what God says. It's going to be good for you. You're going to become a lot of people. This is what God said to your forefathers. Hello, land of milk and honey.
Simple as it is.
Right?
You don't need any parish on that one. That's straight up. You love it.
It's just, you know,
love it.
You know what it is? I could feel the exuberance of the language.
Wow.
I could feel that it was like, it's a, you know, kind of like an explosion of emotion.
Yeah,
it's like, I'm telling you all this stuff. Do you understand what I'm saying?
That's what I mean.
And he's going to bring you to land of milk and honey. That's what it's all going to happen. It's all together. It's like the forefathers, land of milk and honey, good for you. God says, get it? It's
right.
Like, I just what I feel from Moshe Rabbeinu, that this is a speech.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes a speech, a rabbi will clap his hand and yell at you or something like that, and you're just going to be like, zapped.
So this is Moshe Rabbeinu's.
Right, it's like a zap.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not something for reading, it's something for hearing.
Yefe.
That's how I feel about
Yefe
this
man.
Stuff. Okay, so we did Shema Yisrael. There is one more verse that I want to find. Here's a verse which I think that you probably like a lot. Et Hashem Elokecha Tira. God, your Hashem, your God, you should fear. V'oto tavod, you should serve him. U'bishmo teshava, and in his name you should swear.
Swear.
What does that mean? what does that mean in his name? What is that? Okay, serve him, fear him. What does that mean in his name you shall swear?
Right, especially since we're not supposed to.
Like swear, take an oath.
What does Rabbi Artscroll actually say over here about that? How does he actually translate that word for word?
Word for word, he says... Hashem, your God, you shall fear, him shall you serve, and in his name you shall swear. Yeah, they did say that.
Puzzling. I'm not sure. I'm very confused by it.
To me, it's like, to me, I don't think it's about taking oaths. I think it's like those moments I was just reading in the Eliyahu Kitov about 9th of Av. I was reading about Turkamara and all these Jews that were tortured to death, and at some point they were like, I'm a Jew. That's what I am. I'm going down all the way. That's who I am. I'll swear on my dying moment. Like, I'm a Jew. That's
where
I am.
I connected to that. I don't know if you saw this video on Tisha B'Av about Daniel Pearl. Remember the story, Daniel Pearl?
That he was a journalist.
He was a journalist, and he was kidnapped in Afghanistan, I believe. And he was, how do you say, beheaded?
Beheaded, yeah.
But right before he was beheaded, like, the last words he said was, I'm a Yid. I'm a Jew. He said, my mother's Jewish, and I'm a Jew.
That's powerful.
Maybe that's when you were saying that. I was like, I just saw that figure in front of me.
What a kiddush Hashem! What a sanctification in God's name! Like, you're gonna kill me, maybe, but I'm God's.
I'm alive forever.
Right.
I'm alive forever.
Tough.
We should be privileged to reach those levels, not through death, but through life.
Amen. Amen. Speaking of that, in this Aliyah, we're in the sixth Aliyah. There's another thing which is. That there's going to be finally this child arrives on the scene. That child is the Passover child. He's the one that's going to ask you, you're going to get to the land of Israel, you're going to do it all, but then there's going to be some post-Zionism, you know? And you're going to be, they're going to be
What's
born here.
What's this about?
Right, you're going to be born in Gush Etzion, and you know, everything is good, and the house is big, and the barbecue is good. And
then your kid says, can we pull up the albums of you know, when you were growing up in Los Angeles or Miami or New Jersey,
right? Right.
Yeah, you left that,
right? And here's the verses: you shall, if your child asks you tomorrow, saying, "This is in the Bible now, right? This is in the Torah." What are the testimonies and decrees and ordinances that Hashem, our God, commanded you? Right, which is the famous in the we know this from, again, the liturgy of the wise son. In the Passover Haggadah, what are the laws? But there's another way to read it, which is, what is all this stuff?
Right.
And then you're going to have to say to him, "V'amarta levincha avadim ayinu leparo b'mitzrayim." You tell your son, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and he goes through the whole thing.
Right.
And then God took us out of it to give us this land, which he swore to the forefathers, land, forefathers, all the time. And he told us to fulfill these commandments because they're good for us. Utzdakati yelano. It's going to be righteousness for us. Ki nishmon lasot et kol ha-mitzvah hazot, that we keep all these commandments. So there's going to be this child. Like there's a moment where Moses is like, okay, I'm not going to be here, but you're gonna have to do what I'm doing now to your kid. I'm doing it to you because you're my kids, but now I'm passing this on to you.
Right.
You're gonna face your little post-Zionist, you know, your little troublemaking rebellious child at some point.
Right. I think when Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them what we said before, learn how to hear. What are your kids really asking? They're asking you, how do I become part of the story? They're not just asking you as a rebel, you know, rebel, why are you doing this? This is stupid. That may be what they're saying. But if you have Shema Yisrael and you hear what they're really saying is, Ech ani kashu, how do I, it was your story. You did it. You made Aliyah. You jumped on things. But how do I become part of the story? So you start telling them the story from the beginning. And that's what he does.
Right.
Story again. And here, you're part of the narrative as well.
You tell stories all the time, Shlomo, Rabbi Shlomo. How like, does it ever get hard to tell the story again?
You know, great question. There was a rabbi in Efrat here, Rabbi Nathan Siegel. Did you know him?
No.
He passed away just a year ago. Very cute, short Hasidic rabbi. And he was our Rebbe in Hamiftar. And he came in one morning, and he said a Hasidic tale after davening. It was a beautiful Hasidic tale. Then that day he came to Mariv, to the evening prayer, and he said the exact same story. Now, we thought he was getting old, and we all got a little bit embarrassed. We all put our heads down, and then he says to us the following. I'll never forget. He says, I know what you're all thinking. Siegel definitely lost all his marbles this time, right? That's what he said. He said,
Oh my gosh. The truth is,
if you think a story is to be told or heard once, you have no idea what a story is. So when you said that, does it get hard to tell a story twice? Only if I'm like wondering what someone's thinking. But if I'm living the story, it never gets old. I'm sure it happens to you all the time.
Sure.
You have to, come on, with these tours that you lead and talking about Chevron, the same stories, it's all the time.
I sometimes have a hard time with that a little bit, just because, actually because I want to tell it emotionally,
right,
and it's draining sometimes.
Right. So do you feel fake when you
No, never fake, just tired.
Tired,
of,
yeah.
Of,
yeah, I hear.
No, it's never fake because it's real, because the stories are real.
The stories are real.
You know, I think there's a famous Shlomo Carlbach story, I'm trying to remember which one, that he told a story, was it the Holy Miser, and that he was at some Shabbaton, and he had to tell it over and over again. I remember it's in the Red Book that I love so much.
I believe it was Yosla, the Holy Miser. And someone in the crowd was there.
Right.
And finally, after he told the story three or four times, the guy said, my name is Joe. I'm Yosla's.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
so you never
gosh.
Know. That, exactly. So you never.
And that guy goes on to Jerusalem. He was a priest.
He was a priest. A monk or a priest.
Yeah. And he ran away to Jerusalem, and he goes, I'll write you a letter when I'm about to get married.
Right.
Speaking of telling stories over and over again, that Red Book.
Lamed Vav.
The Lamed Vav. Yeah, that Red Book.
I love that book.
In our house, it's called The Red Book. And we have reread that story, those stories out loud hundreds of times.
Yeah.
My kids know every story by heart.
Oh, it's a beautiful book.
Okay, but do you have another book do you recommend that's like that for kids?
For children.
Like stories
in English,
of Shlomo.
Stories of Reb Shlomo. In Hebrew, there are a few.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Hebrew, there are a few. Kol echad u yahalom. Everyone's a diamond. That's a beautiful one.
Okay.
Very, yeah, it's a beautiful one. There's also a book of his stories in Hebrew called Yachad Kulam Kedusha.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it's good stories.
Yeah,
it's told
yeah,
again.
Yeah, great stuff.
Because that Red Book.
But she won, the one that did it. Her name is Slatana. She's from the Old City. That book is epic.
Right, it's epic.
Epic.
It's the way it's written also. It's just.
Well, she was very close to him as well, so
oh,
she really got his language.
Yeah. I tell it, the kids really learned, my children really learned emunah, faith, from that book.
Yeah.
Yeah, very deeply. It had a tremendous mental impact on them.
It's so nice
to
hear.
Because they internalized how to look at the world and how to, there's a lot of
it's
stories.
It's the language of the neshama. That's music and stories are the language of the neshamot.
Yes.
Of the soul.
Yes. Who do you love musically also? Do you love Shweki? Or not?
He's a very special Yid. He does a lot of mitzvahs. He does a lot of holy stuff. I grew up on Avram Fried.
Sure.
I did. And it's part of my,
We saw Avram Fried play on the Mount of Olives on the top. It was a windy night on the top of the Mount of Olives. It was one of the highest concerts we've ever been at. And wow. supposedly he told Ashi, our mutual friend, afterwards that this was one of his highest concerts. It was incredible. Now, check this out. This is a great story. This happened. We're sitting. We got some front row seats there. We were just loving it. And there was another, there was a child. So he sings, Ba'eshuva Maim, Am Yisrael Chai. This 7-year-old kid right next to me goes, Ba'eshuva Maim, right. Avram Fried is standing about, I don't know, 40, 50 yards away, stops the concert, he points the finger at the kid. He goes, come down here.
Really?
Kid comes down.
He goes up on stage.
And he goes, who's your favorite musician? He's like, the kid goes, Lo Yodea. He goes, Ben Kamata. He goes, Ayali Yom Uledet. So he says, I had a birthday. He's like, Mazal Tov. And he goes, and he just goes, and Avram Fried goes, Ba'eshuva Mayim. And the kid goes, Am Yisrael Chai. The kid had perfect pitch.
Wow.
And Avram Fried was able to pick him out from a crowd.
That's
it was
huge.
Amazing. It was like, it's on video, actually. We found it afterwards.
Wow.
It was, and my kids were like, whoa. It was like the kid was perfect. Avram Fried was able to pick him out. It was
very
awesome.
Special.
It was awesome. Okay, let's finish off. I've taken up a lot of your time. I want to thank you so much, Rabbi Shlomo Katz, for being
honor.
With me today. And you have wonderful books.
And wonderful friends.
Baruch Hashem.
I have wonderful friends.
And please check out your other show here at the Land of Israel Network, which is called Soul of Israel. And also all of your stuff, your daily shiurim, and concerts, and many things that you put up. And you put up so much content. So anybody who's hungry for content could just go to soundcloud.com/ Shlomo Katz. Okay, just the way you think it's spelled, Shlomokatz. And thanks for keeping that easy. Really, I really appreciate that. Shlomo Katz, I really appreciate that. And wonderful CDs as well. Also, my children love it. So we play that in the car, and that's fun. It reminds me of the famous story of Dudu Fischer. Dudu Fischer was once in Hungary. And some kid, and Shul on Shabbos, and some kid kept looking at him. And then the minute Dudu Fischer would look at him, he would turn away. So then, at the end of Shul, Dudu Fischer came up to the kid's father. He's like, "What's with the kid?" And they asked the kid, and the kid says, "Dad said I can't watch Dudu Fischer on Shabbos." Okay, because Dudu Fischer is famous with the CDs. Same thing with you.
Oh,
it's like
great.
You listen to the CD, then you come for Shabbos to the show. Like the kids are like, "Wait, are we allowed to?"
That's great.
Okay,
oh, that's cute.
Let's just do one last verse because I think it's very important, and that is right at the end of Etchanan. We're in the Shvi of Etchanan. It says like this: check out, count with me how many different names there are for Am Yisrael. Ki Am Kadosh Atal Hashem Lokecha, for you're a holy nation to Hashem your God. He chose you to be, what is the word amzgula, an able nation, a special nation? What does that mean? Mikol ha'amim asher al pnei ha'adama, from all the nations that are on the face of the earth. He chose you to be a special nation. Don't fight it. Sorry, that's your lot. You're a special nation. You got a job to do. You're a special force. By the way, when you're in special forces in the army, do you think you're the whole army? Even if you're in the best unit in the army, are you the whole army? The army doesn't live on one unit.
Uh-huh.
There's a beautiful world out there. The Jewish people, you got a special, you know, recon mission. Do it.
Right.
Do your thing. Don't like shy away from that. Right now, there's a lot of people on the hard left in America, including like Jewish Voices for Peace, who are very against the nation state law because they're like, whoa, Israel is a Jewish state. I thought it was just a democratic state. I don't want to be different. I don't want a special Jewish state. Hey, buddy, own it. We're a Jewish people. And our friend here in Neve Daniel, there's a very famous intellectual international lawyer. His name is Eugene Kantorovich. He just published an article in the Wall Street Journal. It was called Get Over It, Israel is Jewish.
Oh, I got to say
that. That's the article.
Wow.
Get Over It, Israel's Jewish, or Israel's a Jewish state. You know?
Wow.
So let's just, last thing, let's just ask you about Amskula.
Let me ask you a question. What's your favorite ice cream flavor?
Strawberry.
Why?
Don't know.
Ah, Zgula.
Right.
We can't figure out why this was, this is the Indian. That's my favorite parish of God. Why are we God's chosen people? We didn't choose it. We did not choose it. This is Hashem's favorite ice cream flavor. Why? Ask him. But why can we explain what's favored by us? It just is. And the more we try to dissect it, you know what happens? It stops being our favorite. These are not things that are supposed to be deciphered by the brain. It's a truth that's accepted. You try to fight it, it does stop being special to you. So I'll just take God's word for saying, like, this is what it is. You're Zgula from all of the nations. Why? It just is. Sometimes MS just needs to be pashut, simple.
I guess that goes back to Shema Yisrael, which is listen, also listen to God. People say, listen. I have an expression about that. People say, from your mouth to God's ears. And I'm like, how about from his mouth to our ears?
Nice.
From his mouth nice. To our ears, right?
That's deeper.
How about that? How
I like that. I like that one more.
Right, like Shema Yisrael, like what you're saying now, which is like, okay.
Just listen. I feel like more you're saying this now, if we would just take Parshat Vayetchanan and listen to it, just listen to the Parsha. Wow, the alignment. The alignment with the greater picture becomes so much more refined.
Yes.
That's about the show.
Yes, I really agree with you, and I recommend to people to either certainly be in shul and on Shabbat and hear it, or listen to it on YouTube. I always type in Torah portion reading, and every week I listen to it through.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I love it. There's wonderful readers on YouTube. I type it in Hebrew. I write Kriya LeParshat VaEtchanan. I listen to it. That's one of the ways I prepare for the show. And I just like listening to it. And I think I recommend it to people, especially in these Torah portions, you know, just or another way to do it, just for Jews and Gentiles, read it out loud at the table.
Yeah.
Just read it straight. Let the kids just hear it straight.
Yeah.
And when I say the kids, I mean
us.
That's right.
Of course. Exactly. I didn't think anything right. Otherwise.
Okay, Rabbi Shlomo Katz, I want to thank you again. I want to wish you a happy Shabbat VaEtchanan. Happy Shabbat Nachamu. Nachamu. You know what? Those Shabbos Nachamu in the mountains, those were special times.
Yeah.
they were beautiful. I don't know if I miss it, but they were beautiful.
They were beautiful. But you know what? Hey, if any of those listeners that are listening this week, I have a great show this Saturday night in the Jerusalem Theater with one of my favorite musicians here in Israel. His name is Daniel Zamir.
I know Daniel. He has that hatikva.
Yeah, exactly.
I interviewed him once.
Danny's great.
The Voice of Israel, yeah.
Danny's great. So we're going to be performing at the Jerusalem Theater this Saturday night.
What a gig.
Shabbos Nachamu in Eretz Yisrael.
That's high.
Yeah, special.
Tickets are still on sale?
It's crazy. The city, the municipality is subsidizing it, so it's only 20 shekel a ticket. It's a huge hall, but it's 20 shekel a ticket. Go online, get the info, get the tickets. It's going to be a blast.
Is that on TikTok? Where can you get the tickets?
I don't know.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jerusalem Theater, Shlomo Katz,
Daniel Zamir. That sounds like a great show in Shabbos Nachamu in the land of Israel. And it's also really Tu B'Av, the celebration of love. That love is between the Jewish people and Hashem. It's the love between us and Hashem's Torah. It's the love between us and the land of Israel. It's the love between us and our spouses that make beautiful children, the love of generations.
Yeah. We should be plugged into it.
That's right. Plugged into the love. That's the center of the Jewish world. It's the heart of the Jewish world, says Rabbi Klatsko. That's right.
I love it.
Okay, folks, you are listening to the Land of Israel Network. Thank you so much for being with us. I love you. And we love to hear from you. So share the love by writing an email, yishai@thelandofisrael.com, yishai@thelandofisrael.com. Rabbi Shlomo, what's your email here at the network?
Shlomo@thelandofisrael.com.
Simple enough, shlomo@thelandofisrael.com. Share that love of Torah, of God, of the Land of Israel at the table. Relate it, broadcast it, keep it going. Donate to the network. Check out YishaiFleischer.com. A lot of stuff going on there. I really appreciate your help. Write me an email, YishaiTheLandOfIsrael.com, and show the love. Send me a picture of your love. If you love your dog, if you love your house, if you love your car, if you love the flag of Israel that you have somewhere, share it. Connect to it. Like. Don't just give the love a little bit. Give the love a little bit. Rabbi Shlomo Katz, thank you so much for sharing the love. God bless you, folks. Stay tuned, stay strong, stay connected, and Shabbat Shalom.
Torah thoughts and inspiration from the heartland of Israel. Tune in every week to the Soul of Israel with Rabbi Shlomo Katz on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com.
Shalom, everybody, and welcome back to the Yishai Fleischer Show, broadcasting live from Netanya. That's right, Malka's and mine's favorite vacation spot. We are here in Netanya, and in the room next door are the sleeping children, so you will hear Malka Fleischer join me now relatively quietly, and that's because we can't wake them up, or else our whole vacation's going to be ruined just for the sake of broadcasting to you. But still, we love you so much that we wanted to say a few words from beautiful Netanya. And Netanya is an amazing place on the Mediterranean, on the shore. There's a lot of French folks here. There's a lot of Russian folks here. It is a beach town, at least in this part, like a touristic kind of beach town. There are fabulous kosher Mahadran restaurants. There's great synagogues of Algerian and French Jews and all kinds of, you know, folks from the Mediterranean basin who have made Aliyah and feel themselves comfortable in this town. And I want to bring to the show Malka Fleischer. Malka, thank you so much for joining me on vacation and on the Yishai Fleischer Show here on the Land of Israel Network.
Yishai, I'm scared of waking up the children. Because everyone knows that on vacation, if you wake up the children, it ruins everything.
We shan't let that happen, Malka. Don't worry. We won't let. We won't. They're thoroughly tired from beach day, and also from the evening event, which is all kinds of music and fire and all kinds of exciting stuff that happened here at Kikar HaAtzmaut, which is the independent square here in beautiful Netanya. There was all kinds of event tonight, music. It was like summer happenings, and we scheduled our time here at the beach in Netanya, and we didn't know that there was going to be all this great stuff at the square here. But we really got to see all kinds of cool stuff and fire shows. And the best show, in my opinion, bar none, was the super exciting musical interlude brought to us by one of Netanya's sister cities, which is St. Petersburg, happens to be where my family's from. And they did an awesome job not only promoting beautiful Russian music, but also Russia and, of course, President Vladimir Putin showing videos of jets, tanks, and beautiful places. It was the funniest, most, like, pro-Russia thing I've ever seen in a long time. And it was just cool. And the kids were like, why are you like into this, you know? And I was like, well, because I'm partially from Russia. But anyway, it was really fun. So along with beach mornings and days, good food in the afternoons, and great music at night, it's really been, I think the kids are fast asleep.
Yeah, okay, fine. But it's still, you know, you can appreciate my natural inherent parent fear. But anyway, we've been having a really nice time, as you mentioned, Yishai, here in Netanya. We love to come to Kikar HaAtzmaut. There's many hotels here, and it is a touristy area, meaning to say, like, there are tons of people who come, not just from outside of Israel, but also from all over the country, because there's, you know, affordable hotels, and there's also good food, and it's just very nice, and I don't even want to tell you what hotel we're in because I'm scared other people are going to book rooms here and then I will be full when I want to come here. But anyway, the point is that I'm not telling you. And the other point is that there's lots to do. Go if you ever want to come to Netanya and go to walk on a beautiful boardwalk. So just Google Kikar HaAtzmaut, Independent Square in Netanya, and you'll find just a slew of great hotels to stay at. And it's, you know, it's beautiful. It's good air. It's a little schwitzy, though, you know what I mean? You got the humidity, and it's very hot here in Israel. Right now, we're in the middle of, like, a mini heat wave, which is funny because, Yishai, you and I always joke when we look at the weather. You know, sometimes you Google the weather, like, so I'll, you know, we live in Judea, right, and we live in Efrat. So sometimes I'll type in weather Efrat into Google and see what it is. And in the wintertime, so sometimes it looks a little bit cloudy with some raindrops coming down. Sometimes it looks a little bit sunny with some clouds around it. Sometimes it looks like a big yellow ball, which is just a sunny day. But in the summer in Israel, when you type in, I don't know, weather Netanya, right? It's like yellow ball, yellow ball, yellow ball, yellow ball, yellow ball, yellow ball. Just all for the next 10 days, yellow ball. And it's going to be yellow ball every day. So it's definitely yellow ball. We're in yellow ball season all the way, and we're in the middle of a heat wave, so it was a really good day to be in the ocean. And lots of Am Yisrael went out to the ocean today. Lots of Am Yisrael, Yishai, even went out to hang out at the Kinneret, which is a mini sea that we have here in a landlocked little sea inside here, Israel. And some people, Yishai, had a rather terrifying experience at the Kinneret earlier today. People at the Kinneret basically saw two rockets from Syria fall into the water. it was a question mark for a while because a lot of people reported seeing this, and people were, other people reported seeing people like fleeing out of the water. And then police were called, of course, and they searched for like 3 hours. And they were like, we can't find anything. We don't see any evidence of a rocket. But everyone's like, no, we saw rockets. We saw smoke. We saw explosions, like all this stuff. And eventually they did find some metal parts that seemed to concur with this sighting of rockets. Right now, the information is that the rockets came from ISIS and that the rockets weren't actually being pointed at Israel, but were part of what's this kind of like post-war warfare that's going on in Syria. I don't know how that works, but apparently the war is over, but it's still going on. Go figure that one out. Anyway, there's still a lot of rockets going on. And in the Golan, people are still going to the shelters. And we have family ourselves who up until today were in the Golan. And they're like running back and forth to the shelters. But it looks like everyone's okay. There's no injuries. There were some injuries, though, today, Yishai, on the Gaza border. An IDF soldier was shot by Palestinians from across the fence, Gazans from across the fence. And then Israel went in and smashed 7 Hamas targets. Israel also shot down, big news is that Israel shot down a Syrian warplane yesterday. I thought that was massive news. I was surprised to wake up today and like go eat gelato the day after we took down a Syrian airplane. And apparently the IDF had tried to contact the pilot, and he, I'm assuming it's a he, made it 2 kilometers into Israel, which is far enough really for an enemy state to fly a plane, before Israel shot him down. And Israel shot him down. And apparently he landed back in Syria. I don't know exactly how that
is. No, I think one was killed.
One was killed, but he, that body was mm-hmm. recovered, not inside Israel.
Right.
So I don't understand how that works either.
Quite an ejector seat.
Yeah, I guess a whooshoo. Anyway, so that's the story. But it's, you know, summertime in Israel is always has stuff. A lot of Israel's wars have happened during the summertime. Particularly Gaza wars have happened during the summertime. I'm not sure why that is. I think
terrorists hate the winter. No, terrorists are going to commit suicide. I'm going to die, but I don't want to be cold.
Do it like, it's nippy out for that. You know what I mean?
You know what else? I just want to say, and we don't have a lot of time because we're on vacation and we don't want to spend it talking with you. I mean, to say, one of the little pleasures of vacation is a little thing I like to call television, okay, or televisor, and we were in bed here watching television.
No, we don't like to watch junky TV.
No, we hate junky TV.
But you also want to watch a little TV.
No, we try to find, we don't, now it's important to know that we don't have regular television at home, and so
we don't have cable.
We
no cable.
We don't have TV.
We don't have TV. Really.
We don't have any TV.
We you can look stuff up on the computer. We do that.
Yeah, we see videos, whatever it is. But there's no regular television, so it's been great watching TV, especially Israeli TV. And I love Israeli TV. And I'm always arguing with my wife that we should have more Israeli TV.
Yes, because I don't want my children seeing some of the things that are on Israeli TV, because it's very hard to control on the second to second. Sometimes you'll see people doing very inappropriate things all of a sudden, like.
Yeah, it is.
And then
it,
you can't protect the kids from that. And the kids are still little, and then one day they'll be big, and they'll want to turn on the TV on their own, and they're going to see stuff that is ich. And, you know, I grew up in a secular lifestyle. When you see seeing these kinds of things.
Inappropriate things.
What I would call today inappropriate was normal, right? But I don't want that to be their normal. I try very hard, and I've sacrificed a lot so that will not be their normal. That is what I'm saying, Yishai. No TV in the house.
Thank you, sweetie, and thank you for that. That was a message brought to you by the people of Hungary and
the good Jews
and the students of the Chatam Sofer. Let's keep going.
You mean good Jewish women who protect their kids from garbage and trash?
Absolutely.
You don't want to line up with that party?
I not only do I want to line up, I want to marry into that party, okay? So it's all good, and I'm 100% supportive, 110%, darling. But anyway, back to our story. It's just last night we were flipping through the channels, given that we're here in Netanya,
And we actually, the Lord sent us a great blessing, and that was we saw a film about a rapper, a black American rapper who became an ultra-Orthodox Jew. Now his name is Nisim. What was his name originally? I don't know.
I don't remember.
But anyway, awesome story about this guy who is this, like, if you the first initial look at this guy, you're like, this, the first thing you know, he's a convert, because that is not regular Jewish stock.
We have black Jews.
Sure.
We have many black Jews, and they are just as Jewish as white Jews or any other color Jews.
Right.
But they, because they're from Ethiopia, they look like
Ethiopians,
and Ethiopians have a certain look,
right,
generally speaking. This guy does not look like an Ethiopian.
No, he looks like an American. But what's so cool though is that we got to see him in his total Hasidic garb go back to the hood where he's from and talk to people. And then afterwards, they interviewed them.
He lives in Jerusalem today.
He lives in Jerusalem today.
He lives in Jerusalem.
And he went back to
Nisim, and he likes to do like Jewish religious rap.
Like,
in English.
Yo, the Lord is one, and he's so awesome. Like that. Like,
wow, that was
good.
Did you just come up with that?
Yeah, yeah.
You could be a rapper.
Yeah.
What would we call you?
Trans Jordan. Baghdaddy.
Wait,
Baghdaddy.
All your names. This is your chance.
Yeah, I want to be Baghdaddy. What's up? Yo, I'm from Baghdad. All right.
You're so not.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
That's a good name.
Yeah, well, my forefather Abraham is from Baghdad, around anyway. Anyway, I got a lot of great rapper names, except I will never be a rapper.
Maybe you will if you want to.
I,
you can do anything.
Thanks, babe. Thanks. I appreciate that. I think the kids will also be very excited about that. In any case, what I want to say is that we watched the show about Nisim, and he was so awesome. And as I said, he went back kind of to the hood where he's from.
He went to visit his family.
He went to visit his family.
His family was having like a family get-together.
Yeah.
And he's like, I haven't been back in like 8 years. He's totally transformed his life.
Yeah. Now the people, his family and friends, they looked at him, I thought, rather suspiciously.
He looks on the face, right? Unless
he's
you're
got,
a person who's used
he's got
to that
giant
kind of
side locks, okay? And
he's wearing one of these like black flat hats. He's wearing a long kapata, which is like a big black long suit coat kind of thing, and black pants. And he looks like an Orthodox Jew, except he's like their cousin that they grew up with and played b-ball with and became a rapper, and now he's like, you know, 10 times more Jewish than Malka Fleischer, and they're
right.
Just like, what is this guy?
Yeah, but it turns out when they interviewed them that they were also moved by him and slightly jealous that he had transformed his life, also stepped out of the ghetto and kind of broken free of that, but also
living a life with such purpose
and thanking God. There was one lady who was like, he keeps thanking God. That's so beautiful because we believe in God, she said. And I really thought, I think I said to you, like, people believe in God. People do believe in God, and they're moved by a Jewish person when a Jewish person says, you know, I love God. I thank God for everything. I see God in my life. And we saw God in our life, that he gave us a chance to watch that quality television and to see this transformation of a person to come closer to God. And it was an Israeli produced show, and it was very, very loving.
I don't think you guys appreciate the miracle of this TV, because we've been flipping through. There's like 22 channels here.
And every single one of them is either something about Trump or the Tour de France or
something in Russian.
Right.
There's like 5 Russian channels. There's like 3 French channels. There's like 2 Spanish channels. There's like double Fox News.
No, there's 1 CNN, 1 Fox.
And then there's like 1.5 Israeli, one kid station.
Yeah.
And then like 1.5 Hebrew stations. And the Hebrew station at midnight, when we were finally laying down to watch some TV, was playing an English movie about this guy from America who converted to Judaism. It was amazing.
In any case, folks, that's about it. A little report from the Mediterranean.
Wait, I have to tell everyone what I'm doing tomorrow, though. I have a plan. Now, listen. This is important. We're in Netanya. Yishai mentioned before that Netanya is like, it basically put on a whole St. Petersburg show You heard about that part, okay? The second part that you didn't hear about is that there's a lot of French restaurants around here and French bakeries.
Okay, this is the extension of the Riviera. People do not know this, but this is the French Riviera in Israel. A lot of French people live here. They love this kind of area. They love the seaside here in Israel. So they make Aliyah or they buy some property here, and they are here. They are French.
Right. So what they brought with them was pastries. I have a plan that, see, tonight I had two choices. I could either have mint chocolate chip ice cream, which I love, my favorite kind of ice cream, or I could go in the morning to a French bakery and buy myself a giant fat Napoleon. That's what I'm doing tomorrow. That's my whole vacation goal for tomorrow, is to buy a Napoleon. I can only really concentrate on whether it should just be straight up vanilla or whether I should go vanilla with a strawberry topping.
I think it's very appropriate since Napoleon himself did try to take Akko not so far away from here. I think he was rebuffed there. But in any case, that was close by, and you wanted today eat Napoleon. And Napoleon famously also wanted to reconstitute the Sanhedrin. So all that comes together with Nisim the rapper.
Wow.
And the kids are sleeping, and we're on vacation. And we want to bless everybody out there to come and connect with this land. Remember, this Mediterranean here is called the Yam HaGadol, the Great Ocean. It's not a great ocean. Why does the Torah call it a great ocean? And Rashi says it's because it touches the land of Israel. And this is what I've told you many times, listeners to my show, that vacationing in Israel is the greatest of the great, because you really get to enjoy you can fully love it. This is not enjoying Acapulco or Florida or Iceland. It's really the homeland, the Holy Land, and to see other aspects of it, to connect to Jewish culture here, to connect to this land, to connect to godliness in this land, and to the Yam HaGadol, the Great Sea, is just a fabulous opportunity. And I hope that you get an opportunity to vacation in Israel. Write me, hashtag vacation in Israel, with your tales, with your pictures, with your loves of lovely times vacationing here in the land of Israel.
I'm also happy to accept recommendations on French pastry choices. So please feel free to send those in.
All right, folks, you are listening to the Yishai Fleischer Show. Malka Fleischer, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you very much. Happy vacation.
All right.
To everyone.
That's right. Happy vacation. Happy summer. God bless you wherever you are. Stay tuned, stay strong, and stay connected. God bless you, and shalom.
We are faced with a huge challenge here. I'm worried about the rift and the split.
This is Gil Hoffman, host of Inside Israel Today, here on the Land of Israel Network, on thelandofisrael.com. I interviewed the next chairman of the Jewish Agency and current opposition leader of Israel, Isaac Herzog.
But I preferred doing it because of the enormous challenges facing the Jewish people and my feeling that I have a unique opportunity to leave my mark and when it comes to the well-being of the Jewish people.
Tune in to Inside Israel Today on the Land of Israel Network, on thelandofisrael.com, to hear this interview and many exciting interviews.